All right. Bless your hearts. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back in our Father's Word, the great book of Job. Job, as I've stated many times, means persecuted in the Hebrew tongue. And having said that, the rounds continue. That is to say, the debate between Job and three friends. Now, why he called them friends in the beginning is quite obvious. Job had always been overblessed, so these boys would come to him when they were down and out, and Job would help them a little bit, apparently. Now that Job's down and out and he's lost everything, these boys, basically from Esau, they know he is a sinner. And probably the thing you want to watch closely and focus on, stick to facts. Traditions of men bring in words that dim the focus and the view of actual facts. Don't ever let that happen to you, and you learn to use precision in decision making based on facts, not words, okay? So remember that. Chapter 19, Job answers here, Bildad, little old son of contention here, and he answers in this way. We ask that word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua's name, chapter 19, verse 1, and it reads, "Then Job answered and said, 'How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?'" In other words, your words, you pulverize me with your words. That should have happened him, should it not? I think so. Verse 3. "These 10 times have you reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that you make yourselves strange to me." You act like a stranger rather than a friend. That you crush me. You've all known me. And actually, 10 times means time after time after time. He's getting kind of tired of it. It's amazing that he had 10 children. It's amazing that they're not with him anymore. And for the numerical value of 10 anyway. Verse 4. "And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If I have sinned a little sin, it is my business," basically. In other words, Job here, don't misunderstand. He's not saying that he has sinned. He's saying, if I had, it's still, this punishment would be mine, not yours. Don't try to play God, and naturally this is a play over from his answer before. Don't try to play God and judge me. Let my Father do the judging. Verse 5. "If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach." It's my reproach, meaning it's my sufferings you're preaching at me about. And that's true. They look at his sufferings and they, "Oh boy, he's done something bad." Well, that isn't necessarily the case. Why? You know why. And verse 6, "Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net." Now, number one, God loves you a great deal. He caused this to come up on Job, whereby you could better utilize the blessings of Christ, especially after in this New Testament period, when we have been given powers and authorities. But what did I say about watching facts? Did you hear what Job said? He said there that, "Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net." Now, God has allowed it. And this is something you want to be very familiar with. God will allow things to happen to his election, but he arms them to the teeth. Now, that's a figure of speech. That means he gives us every weapon necessary to down and to destroy the enemy and to make it true. But it's up to you to have the knowledge to know how to utilize them. Now, number one, let's go back to the facts. I'm going to go back to chapter 2, verse 7 here. And you remember his statement there. Chapter 2, verse 7, and it reads, after Satan's appearance before God the second time. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Who did it? You see, God's letting you be privy to the facts. God didn't do this. It's Satan that did it. Now, God allows it. This is why don't ever try to blame your problems off on somebody else. You're the one that makes the decision. Yeah, but I was beguiled. I was talked into it. No, you listened. You listened to a nutcase, and look where you ended up. It was still your decision. Your troubles are your own. It is your bed, and you will sleep in it, so keep it swept out. All right? You have the power and the authority with the promises and the power that God has given you to keep a clean house. See that you do. Filled with Christ and love. Verse 7. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. There's violence and I'm crying out. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. I cry aloud for help is what the manuscripts stipulate. But there's no justice. Why? Well, we haven't quite got this thing. Job needs to fine-tune this thing to know who's doing this to him. And Job goes through this with his three friends right there nipping at his heels every foot of the way. Verse 8. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. Who did? Think about it. Stick to facts, not words. Words. Stick to facts. You know Satan's doing this. 9. He hath stripped me of my glory and hath taken the crown from my head. No. Satan placed boils there on his instead of a crown. Verse 10. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. When you remove a tree, it's there, it's beautiful, and so forth. You remove the stump and all, and it's as though it was never there. Verse 11. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. Again, I have to insist that you think a moment. It is real easy if you become frustrated with three friends like he has, making accusations. You see, accuse, and who is the accuser? It's one of his names, Satan. Somebody should have come to the party, but these three friends are nothing but agents of Satan practicing traditions of men, which basically are satanic compared to the Word of God, because they mislead poor souls. In that sense, they are satanic. They lead poor people away that are ignorant of God's word. Verse 12. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. This is given in a military sense. He says, my calamities come up like waves of troops. I get one kind of back under control and wham, here comes another one. And hey, stop and think. Have you ever had days like this? Sometimes maybe weeks, sometimes maybe years. That it would say it can be depressing to you if you allow it. But God has given you a way. And I suppose the hardest lesson taught in God's good word called the Bible is this book of Job. Because the repetition is for 40 chapters of yakety, yakety, yak, words by traditions, with Job answering, not quite being able to fine-tune reality to get to the point and start taking names and kicking dragon. All right? See that your life isn't that way. Verse 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. It's like that. Now that I've lost everything, they act like they don't even know me. And naturally, 14, my kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Now that I can't butter their nest, they just forgot all about me. Money buys good friends, doesn't it? His kinfolks have failed because they don't live any longer. He's alone. But there's one thing he's not alone from. You're never alone. God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And God is pulling for Job. This is the same controversy that has begun from day one. The controversy between God and Satan. And it will continue until the last day of this age. There's nothing new under the sun. So how is it that people could so soon forget what the controversy is about and try to turn it over to nations or this is problems or the times? Mm-mm. No way. It's the same old controversy. And as long as Satan can get people to believe that, he's doing real good. Verse 15. And that is to say, believe that it's some, just the times. 15. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. They won't listen to me. I am an alien in their sight. I ask them for something and they ignore me. Now, boy, I'll tell you what. Now, you talk about being down at the bottom of the totem pole. Hey, he's there. Verse 16. I called my servant and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. I kind of told him what I thought about it. I suppose he still didn't pay attention. Why? Job doesn't have anything that a servant can count on. 17. My breath, this is his spirit. It's ruach, okay? My spirit is strange to my wife. Though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Mine own body, the word here is the womb of my own body. Well, Job didn't have a womb, but his mother did. Even my mother's body is what he's saying here, okay? Verse 18. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. Young children will mock someone when they're really down because they are different. 19. And my inward friends, that's to say my intimate friends, abhorred me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. It just seemed that way. That maybe it hurts more than anything else. You know what his own wife told him back in chapter 2? Why don't you just die? Give up the ghost and die, you miserable wretch, is what she indicated. 20. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh. My own knees just show through the skin. And I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. And naturally, that is the one thing that Satan could not bother was his soul. 21. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me. He repeats it two times for emphasis. That's what he's asking for. Through the pity, perhaps then comes understanding. O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. He saved his life. Why? Because Satan can't have that. And I suppose here these were his friends. He had befriended them many times when they needed a friend. Do you think they'll listen? Uh-uh. No way. 22. Why? Well, let's answer why. Because they will not look at the facts, these simple facts. Using common sense is just too large a step for some people. They must, through their own so-called wisdom, complicate and muddy the water whereby a real searcher cannot see the bottom. 22. Why do ye persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? In other words, you're playing God because It is you through your mouth exercise these sentences of sin and torture and punishment because you're judging me, you're playing God. And it would seem that as much as they'd about eaten his flesh up, they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted everything. They wanted his soul. No doubt you can understand that was Satan working. And you might say, well, how could you be so sure of that? Because Satan couldn't touch his soul, but his friends could. So naturally, what's Satan going to do? He's going to work on the friends. Look at the facts. Don't be deceived in this life. Verse 23, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book or inscribed in a book, better translated. There wasn't a printer in Job's time. Thank God there is now a book. And we're studying it to learn the lesson that Job paid a tremendous price to present to you. 24, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. That no one could ever forget this. Well, I sure can't. You know, I rarely ever teach Job because it's kind of, I don't want to say it's monotonous. It's repetition, 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 because you've got those ratchet jaws that just go on and on, and I don't particularly care for ratchet jaws. Okay? So it's a book I don't teach all that often, but the lesson is fantastic. Don't ever forget it. It's an easy book to memorize because it's too true to life. Verse 25. Listen carefully. Listen very carefully. Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. This, of course, looks forward to Christ. I usually, when I do a funeral service, I quote this particular verse. 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now, this is really sad. This is why that some people, without being familiar with the manuscripts, are not careful readers, because most of your little King James, little King James Bibles that have a column adjacent, it has this translated in a little different way. After I shall awake, though this body be destroyed, yet out of my flesh shall I see God. Now that is correct. Because think and stick to the facts. You can't have worms destroying the flesh and actually eating it all up and then still be in the ground and still be in the flesh and see God. So what he said is that I know that, and though after my skin worms destroy this body completely, totally, yet out of my flesh, meaning there is an inner man, a spiritual man, that is other than or out of this flesh body, that shall I see God. And quite frankly, if you take it to the next depth of thought, knowing the reason you can't see the face of God and live is because he's in a different dimension than we are. And so you have to be in the transition of dying and be in that dimension before you can see him face to face. And don't worry, then you will. So it is amazing at how some people can say, well, yes, with these flesh bodies we shall see him because it says right here. No, translators messed that one up. Verse 27, I want to back up. In other words, you can't have it both ways. You can't totally destroy something and then yet still use it. So you should know there was something wrong with it. 27, whom I shall see, and this I continue with the quote from that 25th verse, speaking of Messiah, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, not as a stranger it should be, though my reins be consumed within me, though this body be destroyed totally and completely, I'm going to see God. And not with somebody else's eyes, but with my own. Verse 28. But ye should say, why persecute we him? Seeing the root of the matter is found in me. That means in Job. Well, I suppose that if you go all the way to the root, I'm sorry, it's found in Satan. That's where you're going to find it at. Job said you persecute and so on and so forth, but why do you persecute me? You should ask yourselves, why are we persecuting him, seeing the root of the matter is found in Job's own body? It's his business. Get it straightened out. Find the reason. But it was really Satan, okay? You got it? 29. Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. You see, Job always ends with a positive note. He lets us know here that even though they're judging him severely, and it hurts when your friends do you this way. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how much you love God. When your friends do you this way, it hurts. But Job is saying, regardless of what you do, I'm still going to see God. And I won't be seeing him as a stranger, but a loved one. Because I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything. And I have done nothing but my very best to please God. And he had walked with God and been blessed with God enough that he knew he was in good standing with God. Didn't really quite know what the problem was. He will before we finish this book, I assure you. Chapter 20, verse 1. Another round. We're going to go back to the old sparrow this time, the little bird that scratches around in everybody else's feed. All right, you got it? Then answered Zophar, the Naamathite, and said, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. Because of my inward emotion, listening to you, the insults you have brought, I'm very anxious to answer you. Again, what is his problem? They do not look at the facts. They're not listening to Job. Job continues saying, I haven't sinned. That's not the problem. Look deeper, friends. 3. I have heard the cheek of my reproach, those insults. And the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. I am so wise, I feel I can bring forth an answer. He's not wise. 4. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth? Are you mocking Job? Don't you know? 5. That the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite, the ungodly, that is, but for a moment. Now, what, in all his wisdom, Job definitely is not a hypocrite, and Job is not wicked. So what is this? Words, words, words. The little sparrow scratching around in somebody else's stuff, spreading gossip. That's what it amounts to. Watch out for people like that. 6. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds. Boy, now that'd be high and mighty, would it not? 7. Yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? In other words, you may be, I don't care how high and mighty you think you are, Job, you're going to go the same way that your dung does, back to dirt, nothing. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. 8. He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision in the night. What happens when you wake up and you've been dreaming? It's gone. Many times you can't even remember it. It's nothing. And he's saying, a wicked one like Job, you wake up, look at him, and you know what's going through his mind. He's looking at poor old Job here. I mean, sore eaten from head to toe. And hadn't got a dime to his name. I mean, everything is ripped off from him. And he's sitting there with the sores running. And boy, he is just pouring it on, you know. He says, you just amount to nothing but like a dream in the night. When you wake up, it's gone. You're nothing, Job. You couldn't get much. You couldn't tell a man he didn't amount to much any better way than that. Verse 9. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. And he's just gone. Just like when you wake up from that dream and it's gone out of your head. He's gone. 10. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. Now, that indeed is a low blow. I mean, can you imagine Job's lost 10 children all at one time? And this nutcase here has the nerve to say this. 11. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. You're going, without repenting, Job, you're taking it with you. You better get to repenting, boy. There's just one problem. Where are the facts? The facts are Job hasn't done anything. Job has no sin. 12. That he has not repented for or sacrificed for. Let me state. Verse 12. Though wickedness be sweet, and it tastes good in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he doesn't swallow it, he hangs on to it to try to make it last longer. 13. Though he spare it, and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth. He just doesn't swallow it, trying to hang on. 14. Yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of asp within him. You know what an asp is? That's a serpent. Now we're getting pretty close to what the real trouble is here, okay? Poised like an asp. 15. He hath swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. You know, again, I can't help thinking when I read this, you know, if you've got a friend like this, you'll never need an enemy. I mean, this is terrible. And that little sparrow just in there scratching around in something, it becomes pretty obvious what it is, does it not? 16. He shall suck the poison of asp, the viper's tongue shall slay him. And I'm going to tell you what, he's dealing with Satan's colleagues right here, the old serpent, the devil, the snake. So God allows a little truth to slip in to get your attention, to remind you of the facts. And you keep your eye on facts in your own life. And learn from Job by concentrating, disciplining yourself in truth, and cull out the lies. Verse 17, he shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. In other words, God's never going to bless him again where he can take a hot biscuit and slap a little pure cow's butter on there and then pour a little natural Tupelo honey over it and take a little bite. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to be blessed like that anymore. You're not going to get to enjoy it. 18. That which he labored for shall he restore, and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. Wealth being belonging to others is restored to others. You know, if you've been stripped of all your wealth, like Job's, is he trying to say you didn't earn it legally anyway, and it's been restored to others? 19. Because he hath oppressed and hath forsaken the poor, because he hath violently taken away an house which he buildeth not. Boy, he's calling Job all kinds of names. 20. Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. His appetite gives him no rest, and he cannot escape his desires. Well, I don't imagine Job has much of an appetite at this time when he has to listen to ratchet jaws. 21. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. Well-being won't last. Well, he can say that easily now. It's obvious Job's well-being didn't last. He's stripped. But you had better thee well remember who stripped him. It wasn't God. 22. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. When he is full and when he has everything, they'll fight, the wicked will, to try to get it back away from him, the other wicked. He's not letting Job off the hook, okay? 23. When he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. Yah smites him down in his prosperity. Now, this is really, like, again, you know, if you had lost everything you own, you hadn't sinned, in some nutcase like this that's got a ratchet jaw that won't stop, you know, and has no knowledge whatsoever because he can't stick to facts, comes along and stroking you with all this when you've lost all the members of your family and all of your wealth, you don't need enemies. 24. He shall feel from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. That's like, if you'll picture this, he's going to shoot him in the back and with a strong bow, and it is natural when the arrow comes through that people grab it and try to pull it out, you know? Okay, picture that if you will. 25, it is drawn and cometh out of the body, yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall, terrors are upon him. In other words, man grasps that arrow to pull it out, and naturally what follows. 26. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. I kind of like this, you know, because darkness is his reward. That's what he's saying. But you know who the fire is that consumes? It's God that's the consuming fire, and he's hoping Job will remember. 27. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, his guilt. He's guilty of sin. And the earth shall raise up against him. Boy, with friends like this, and this is a very bad insult to Job. You couldn't insult him much more. 28. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. When God gets so mad at him, he'll strip his house and his kids. How would you like to have lost 10 kids and then have friends that talk to you like this? 29 to complete. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. In other words, what he's saying here, and this is the height of insult, that this is a divine penalty placed upon Job by God. That's a lie. You know better because you're privy to the second chapter and the seventh verse. It's Satan that's doing it. Satan likes to rip off all of God's elect. You know why? Especially if he can find a dumb one. And a dumb one is one that is biblically illiterate, unfortunately. But once you realize you're one of God's elect, it doesn't take you long to sharpen up and use the weaponry that God has given you to make Satan afraid of you. So, this is a fantastic book. Don't miss any of it. And I know that it would seem that it's repetitious, but you learn a new lesson each time. Take detail by detail. You need to make notes. And when your life seems to cloud up and fall apart, look at the notes and you'll find yourself. You'll find God. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?